start in 31, but eventually we're going to get back to verse 1. Is there anybody in here who's going to stick around with God until the fire falls? That'd be the title of the message. You going to stick around? Are you going to stick around in God, with God? Will you stay till the fire falls? That's what I wrote. That's what I got to read what I wrote. Tomorrow night at 7:30, we're going to have Holden Smith, 19-year-old kid, just loves the Lord. He's so on fire for God that I made up a special service for him just to come. I'm going to do a live video on Facebook, but also I'm going to have him here. I was going to wait till one Sunday to have him come sing. I was like sitting there going, God, all right, what Sunday? When can I bring him? And I'm sitting there, wait a minute. He said, just bring him as soon as you can. I said, all right, Thursday sounds good. And I called the kid, and I was like, hey, well, you want to come up here and sing a little bit? We'll put it on video. He said, yeah, I'll be there. What day works best for you? I'll be there. I'm like, God. He sung one night of the revival over there, and he came back on the Thursday night. He was sitting about three or four rows back, and he was just so overwhelmed with God. I'm sitting there going, good-looking kid, too. Really good-looking kid. I'm sitting there thinking, man, this guy could be anywhere he wanted to be, 19 years old or not, and he's in here just out-worshiping everybody, loving God. And I think God just wants me to promote somebody like you. I don't know, you know. So if you ain't got nothing to do tomorrow night, come by and just, I want our church to meet him. I don't know what God's got in store. I might do this summer sometime. I'm thinking about doing a full-on youth revival. Not a revival for the youth. A youth done by the youth, for our youth, and hopefully for our grown-ups. Amen? That's what I think God's just pushing me and nudging me. So I've got like three or four people just recently told me some stuff about some kids. I call them kids. If you're under 25, you're a kid. But if you're on fire, you need to be recognized right now in this time and age. So anyway, that's what we're going to do tomorrow. And if you don't get to make it, it's okay. Don't worry about that. I just want to introduce them. I want to be around. Man, when I see somebody that's on fire, I just want to be around them. I just want to see how they're doing, you know? Anyway, so tonight I'm preaching to you guys mostly because I think sometimes we forget where we're going. We forget where we're going as believers. And we forget that God's working even in tough times. And when I was thinking, my first thought for tonight was ministry people, it's me. Leaders in the church. Then all of a sudden, God started saying, this is going to be good for moms and dads too. Is there anybody in here, it's a mom or a dad or a grandparent, you're in the midst of raising your kids and you feel like some days that you're not doing the greatest of jobs? Or let's get in the Word, and then I'll let God steer through all that, okay? Let's do that. 1 Kings 18:31. Let's talk about the fire first, because I like that. 1 Kings 18:31. Y'all mind if I take a little liberty right here? I didn't think y'all would. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Okay, y'all probably already know where this is, but they're up on Mount Carmel. There's 450 false prophets of Baal. God has given him the liberty to put down a challenge. He said, you build an altar, I'll build an altar. You put on a fatted calf, I'll put on a fatted calf, and we're going to call down the fire. And whoever's God's God is going to answer by fire. And they did theirs, and they had a scene. They put the wood, they put the rocks, they put the calf, they put that big old bullock up on there, and they began to dance and scream and holler. 450 lunatic preachers, amen? Not Bible preachers, but just heretics, but just chanting and screaming and cutting, and I'm serious, cutting themselves and thinking they were going to get something done. And you got to get to all of this. Here's Elijah standing there, one guy. and God. It's just me and God. When that's like almost the whole theme of the Old Testament. You plus God equals a majority. Can I tell you something that still happens today? I know when you watch the news and you read about what's going on in the world today, you think that you're in a minority. But if you're with God, you're actually okay. No, that didn't cost you anything. But and I love this. I love this part of the Bible because they do all this stuff and the fire won't come and Elijah begins to be a smart aleck. And I'm glad that's in the Bible because sometimes I can be a smart aleck. Amen? He goes, where is your God? Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe your God's sleepy. Maybe you need to wake him up. Maybe your God's on a long trip. And he ain't got back yet. Man, that's all. Don't y'all like that that's in there? People say, God, I don't know if God has humor or not. He surely does. Because he didn't get onto Elijah for that. But then I love what Elijah does. You gotta see that. When God gives you something, do it with confidence. Do what God's called you to do with a confidence, with a holy boldness. And I don't care if everybody's watching. He picked up 12 stones and sat them down in order. Just bear with me. I wrote this down right before. I was like, okay, that one's for Dan, and that one's for Asher, and that one's for, that's for Reuben. That's big old brother Gad. Sorry, I'm being silly. That's for Joseph. He's a little spoilt. That's for the right hand of Benjamin. I'll put that on the right hand right there. And there's that roaring lion, Judah. You know, he put all 12 of them in order, but I believe he's something special about that one from Judah, right? Just setting those out. And then he sets up the altar and sets up the wood. I just believe, man, could y'all just get in your mind. We can't even, there's not 450 people here tonight. But 450 people are watching him. I mean, they have failed utterly, but now they're watching him, and just for sheer numbers, they're thinking, you don't stand a chance. And he is he's setting up the rocks, setting up the wood, and cutting him a trench. Can you see what I'm saying? Some of y'all missed your focus. You're not focusing on what God gave you. You're focusing on the people who are saying that you can't or you won't or you shouldn't or we don't agree with you and we don't believe like you, and you're focusing on them. I like what Elijah does. Elijah, he's already got the word from God. He's working on the things that God told him to work on. And he is hyper-focused. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And next, the wood goes here and the wood goes there and the wood goes here and the wood goes there. And next, we dig the ditch. While he's good, there is no way when you're doing that, do you look around and go, wonder what the enemy's doing? I wonder what them other 450 preachers are preaching. I wonder what them other leaders of the church are doing. I wonder what them other Sunday school teachers are doing. I wonder what them other church members are doing. I wonder what the other parents are doing. I wonder what the other fathers are doing. I wonder what the other, whatever ministry you do, whatever work you do. I wonder what they're doing. Well, it's hard to figure that out when you're so engrossed in what God has put on your heart because you're believing that the fire is going to fall. And you are not going to miss the fire falling for looking at somebody else and wondering what they're doing. Because you could hear them, you can feel them, or you can just stay about your business, amen? Anyway, I love it. I've not even got into the message. It's not even part of the message. I knew if I started here, we might be in trouble. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Verse 33, and he put the wood in order. God, never mind. Charlie, you like stuff like that, don't you? I mean, it's like there's no mistaking about it. I mean, he's like precise. Amen? I mean, if he didn't believe in it, it would just like chuck some wood up there, I guess. Whatever, you know, put some rocks up. But I mean, he is just working himself, right? Because he's like, when you see this thing, y'all, just bear with me. cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And they're in a famine. It hasn't rained in 3 years. And he said, do it the third time. And they're pouring out water, and most of these people are thirsting to death. You know he's got to have some confidence in God, because if the fire don't fall, he's a dead man. Just for wasting water in a 3-year drought. Do it again. Once for the Father, once for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Do it again. Do it again. Man, you know what? So, just kind of gets me. I'm going to push myself into preaching if I'm not careful. But sometimes I wish we'd do it again. Amen? Sometimes we run away from the things that God wants to do into the things that we want to do. Amen? We sing a song, God moves. We got that other, and we got to get it. Do it again. Scott's looking at me right now going, don't you dare mess with my music, boy. Preachers are the same way. We feel like if we preach the same message again, oh, goodness, Lord, we preach that wind. Sometimes I go back when God gives me a message that I already preached. I try to go back and figure out how long it's been able to, since I preached it. And then I do myself a big favor, and I just ask one of you, hey, what I preached last week? And you go, and I'm like, all right, never mind, don't worry about it. I can preach anything I want to. Some of you are loving me right now. Some of you are mad. And some of you right now are trying to figure out what I preached last Sunday. You're sitting there going, for the life of me, if he better not ask me right now. Amen? I said, do it again. That made me laugh. I'm still laughing. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of offering the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. And listen what he does in 36. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't call him Jacob, he calls him Israel. Let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things as thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord, thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. Whoo, man, one man, 450 false prophets, one man listening to God, being obedient, stands there and sees the fire fall. You can do it. But I want to preach to you about a man who almost maybe wouldn't have seen it, the fire fall, if he'd have gave up. He's a guy, he's obscure, but he's on the hunt for the prophet. Go back to 1 Kings 18:1, and I wanted you to see that, because that was, would y'all say that's one of the probably highlights of the Old Testament? Would y'all not say that's probably like, that's a big deal. I mean, fire falling from heaven, and yeah, it's just amazing, all right? Okay, that's a big deal. Well, guess what? There's bigger deals than that go on in your lives every day. There are people that are in your family who need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when they get saved, their salvation is a bigger deal than the fire falling. So when I reference the fire falling tonight, what I mean is you need the fire of God to fall into your ministry. You need the fire of God to fall into your family. You need the fire of God to fall on somebody that you love or care about, and you're waiting for it. I'm here tonight to tell you, don't give up too soon. And I'm going to give you three things that I've seen in this guy, Obadiah, that kind of encouraged me, amen? And hopefully it'll encourage you. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord, this is verse 1, came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, remember this, underline that, highlight that name, or take a note right there, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He's one of the few people in the Bible that I read about in ministry who's behind enemy lines. He's working for one of the most wicked kings and queens of Jerusalem ever. And he loves the Lord, and he is inside their circle. Man, what a covert operation with God. Amen? You've got Elijah who's out, you know, being fed by the crows and the widows. And you got this guy who loves Jesus, loves God. He's covert. He's inside Ahab's circle. He's one of his leaders, and he loves God. He's got a fear for God. Ain't that? We'll get back to that one, but that's neat that it puts it in parentheses for us there. It says, Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets. when it says cut off, just add their heads. Amen? She put it into them. I want y'all to know that. Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah, this undercover Christian, this undercover saint inside the enemy line, took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Woo! Woo! What? Come on! He's seen a need. He loved God. His ministry now is hiding preachers. 50 in this cave, 50 in that cave. Man, I'd like to see 50 preachers in a cave. After about 2 days, them dudes would be killing each other. I'm just kidding. I preach better message than you do. I'm just kidding. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. Heisman and feeding them bread and water. Now listen, y'all gotta see the Bible. See it. Let it come alive. This guy is in there and he's eating. It's a famine. 3 years. Hasn't rained. Bread and water is a shortage. Everything turns to dirt. This man is probably cutting his rations and getting others or somehow finding rations and setting it back and then making his way out to the caves. This is not, we're going to Hickson to the Roadhouse or Ichabod or wherever you go, McDonald's. I don't know where you go. I like to throw McDonald's. I had a neighbor and she'd always say McDonald's. We always call it McDonald's. But you go, I ain't got our McDonald's. Never mind, I'm sorry. That's my ADHD kicking in. This is not you're going down to Saudi or you're going down to Hickson and the streetlights and the pavement. This is, you are the, I don't know about you, but lions and bears and coyotes and wolves, you're the only one toting food. And you are food. Huh? You're sneaking out to the caves every night. Not only that, is if you know if everybody's hungry and everybody's distressed and everybody's crazy for food, if food starts running out tomorrow, this civilized country we live in falls apart real quick. You can't eat money. You can't drink oil. People will be coming in your house. You got food. He's sneaking out. This is a different kind of look on this, ain't it? He's going out to that cave. Said, hey guys, you're still in there? 50 by 50. Here's a little bit of bread and here's a little bit of water. Guys, it's like prison. But you're staying alive. I'm trying to keep you alive. Is that a cool ministry? It's a cool ministry because guess what? He's supplying what that country needs more than it needs anything. Men of God. That's what we're missing today. Real, true people of God. No. That's what a cool ministry. Man, you got to be brave to do that. Let's get on. Watch this. And Obadiah was in, verse 5. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land, unto the fountains of the water, and unto all the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself, and Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned? What have I sinned? That thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Let's stop. I'm going to take one break right here and give you another point. This is added to my 3 points. I want you to get this. When it gets so bad, who are they hunting for? Man of God. Not a king, not a kingdom, not a president, not a senator. Not, if it gets bad enough, listen to me. The worst of the worst people. Ahab is the worst king, the worst wicked. Where is Elijah? We need a word from God.
Here's some ashes, Lord. Here's my ashes. Thanks for saving me. Thanks for going to the cross, carrying my cross, dying for all my sins, the ordinances that were against me, loving me, seeking me, sending people to minister to me, witness to me. Lord, thank you for all that. I'm glad I'm here. What, don't it sound a lot better than, hey, those crazy things you had me do, Lord, those scary, crazy things, like hiding. Do you know what, I'm going to be a little bit funny right here. Do you know what it's like to put 50 preachers in two caves? You know what it's like to feed them bread and water? I mean, I could have been full, but I'm not. Amen? It's dangerous. You need to write this down. It's dangerous. Will you always succeed in ministry? Will you always succeed? No. I've had such failures in ministry that I have laid in the floor, prostrate with my face pressed to the carpet, and begging God, why are you doing this? This hurts. I've seen kids go into families they shouldn't have went to. I've seen boys go home to homes they shouldn't went to. I've seen men go home when they shouldn't go home. I've seen men die in their addiction. I've seen women die in their addiction. I've seen church members die. I have heard it. I've seen it. I've felt it. I wonder, God, why did you let me minister to them? But nothing changed. It's dangerous. It's scary. It's hard. But you do it anyway. Because some people do get saved. Some people do change. Some become the men, the women, the children that you want them to be. Some, guess what? Some of them do die. But it's a whole lot better to stand over a casket and know where they're at compared to we're not knowing where they're at. Living's dangerous. Ministry's dangerous, but it has great rewards on the other side. Have y'all probably heard me say this? Probably said it so many times. Jason Medina's the only name. You won't hear that name probably for the rest of the time you're a pastor. That's the first man that ever came to an altar where I was preaching and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He was in the sound booth at Providence Ministries. The day before that, I quit preaching. It didn't last long. He come and got saved. He's the last person that came to the altar that morning. He came in and he grabbed me and he said, will you pray with me? I said, what do you need? He goes, I need that Jesus you're talking about. A year later, I seen him. Maybe 2 years later, I seen him. He came in that same ministry with a broke arm. And I said, man, what happened to your arm? He said, I was changing my tire on the interstate on the way up here. Broke my arm. He said, man, it's terrible. He said, but you know what? I'm still saved. He said, you're that crazy preacher. Told me about Jesus. I'm still saved. About 2 years later, guess what? I got word. He got killed in a car accident. Part of me was sad and broken. The other part was going, that joker beat me to heaven. Amen? He beat me to heaven. He really did. You know what? It could have been a whole lot different story. It's worth it. I ain't going to get in many, many people. Many, many people. Too many to talk about. Call and ask me, do you know about my son? Is he saved? I don't know. Amen? Heartbreaking. Gut-wrenching. Worth it. Still worth it. I don't get any credit for the ones that got saved. I don't get any credit for the ones that didn't get saved. But it's gut-wrenching. Can I preach to y'all now? Can I preach to you? Are you ready? It's dangerous. And guess what? It's dry. When God spoke to me on the way over here this whole day, he still to me, because I was thinking ministry, ministry, ministry. And God said, when you get to this point, say moms and dads. Moms, listen. Just listen to me. Dry. Raising kids, there's going to be some dry spells. There are going to be some dry spells. You're going to feel like you are not getting anywhere with them. They're not hearing you. They're not paying attention to you. They're rebelling against you. They're kicking against you. They are going their own way. They're doing it their own way. They're doing it their everything you've given them. They say, nope, I'll try it anyway. They're rebelling against you, against your authority, and you feel like you are just withering up and drying. There's no Holy Spirit, there's no anointing, there's no, man, they used to talk about Jesus. I can remember when they read the Bible. I can remember when they prayed. I can remember when they quoted scripture. I remember when they were doing this crazy cool thing at church. But right now, it seems like it's just dryville. It's dried up. I want to tell you this, God is working more now than he was when everything seemed like it was flowing. You don't believe me, but God told me to tell you that. Because guess what? He didn't just tell me to tell you that. He told me to tell me that. When it's dry and you don't think he's working overtime. I'll guarantee you more people draw close to God during a famine than they do when everything's just pouring in. The prodigal son didn't get home. He didn't come home until he ran out of everything. Until he ran out of his daddy and his mama's stuff. Golly, listen, guys, some of y'all have done so good of a job raising them, you got to let them run out of your stuff. You got to let them run out of your stuff to where then they have to look for God. They have to look to God. They have to say, Mama and Daddy had Jesus, but I don't have him. I want him. You can't make it. You can't make that happen. Just during the dry times, you got to realize, hey, God's working big time here. And they'll call you and they'll say they need this and they're mad about that and they're upset about this. Listen, that's when you really need to listen to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to tell them? Because sometimes he'll tell you to tell them. Front of them. Pour it out to God. Pour it. Better do what I told you. Shut the door, make it to the kitchen, and fall apart all over the place. God will put you back together and he'll work on them too. Amen? I was sitting here, I was all geared up, man, that's ministry because there's dry places in ministry. You know, there was time. This guy, he's hustling out there with a little bit of water and a little bit of bread. He's like, man, this ain't nothing. These are preachers. Preachers eat a lot. Amen? This has gone on too long. This sound like a good... I bet this was the best praying man ever. I've got 50 preachers in each cave. Oh, well, golly, you're going to have to do something. Lord. Amen? Things are drying up here. I'm running out of resources. I'm running out of messages. I'm running out of advice. I'm running out of my golly. I wish there was some people in here that would say every once in a while, hey, Kevin, I feel like I'm running out of myself sometimes. I know there's some of you in here that feel like you run out of yourself. You're about that close and you think, man, I'm going to snap. What you need to do is you need to snap towards Jesus. You need to fall on Jesus. And you say, I feel like I'm drying up, God. I need you to send some resources. It ain't no mistake. Ahab went one way, and he went another way. Who ran into the man of God? Obadiah. Amen? He didn't have a clue. He didn't have a clue what he was even looking. He was looking for water for horses and mules. Amen? I guarantee you that walk was a whole lot different than Ahab's walk. I'm going to kill that man of God if I ever see him. I can't stand this. Obadiah's like, God, help us. Help me. I'm going insane. I wish y'all could see it like I see it. I can't show it to you. It's in my mind. Who's that guy? Yoda walking up the road. I'm serious. We're not always spiritual, are we, sis? Wait, who is this guy? God. Gosh. I wonder who this is. Walks. He looks similar. He looks like someone. Is that you? God. said he was in dangerous places. I said he was in dry places. One more D. He was in desperate places. He was in despair. Yes. He was afraid. We're always afraid of what's going to happen next. Listen. He says this. Don't disappear. You can't go. You gotta come with me. You gotta show. You can't just say you're gonna show up, because if you do that, I'm dead now. What's happened? He's scared out of his mind. When he started out ministry, he was like, "Man, I got this." Now he's like, "Don't go anywhere, or I'm dead." He got used to the dangerous, and he got used to the dry. But when the change came, whoo, y'all might want to write that down. When the change came, that scared him. We can settle in dangerous places. We can even settle in dry places. I know some churches who have settled in some dry places. We won't. Settle in some dry places. Amen? So when God brings the change, we would rather have the danger and the dry, and not have the change. God said, y'all not get it. He said, I'm going to show up my way. Yeah. When Elijah speaks, he speaks to God. I'm going to show up my way. I'm going to show up God's way. No, I want you, Charlie, I want to do it my way. I want you to walk with me. We're going to go right to the king. You're going to talk to Ed, and that's what's going to happen. I'm not ever going to do it your way. Amen? Stay. You're like, stay faithful until the fire falls. Amen? Yeah. And the fire is going to fall, because I'm not going with you to meet Ahab. We're going up to Mount Carmel, and the fire's going to fall. It's going to be different. It's going to be radical. It's going to be wild, but it's going to be God. And you're not going to be upset that you went through the danger. And you're not going to be upset that you went through the dry period. And you're not going to be dismayed or in despair that you let God do it his way instead of doing it your way.
Oh, but the aches you go through while you're
fighting. I agree. The aches. I agree with that. Let's all stand as he comes and gets us on. Thank you for helping me in that. That's perfect.